Well, the last two Sundays, we've been reading about the mercy of Jesus, his compassion, and his love for his people, the followers of Christ. This seventh chapter of Luke continues as Jesus is at the house of Simon the Pharisee. Even though there are lots of other people at that house, the people this reading focuses on are Jesus, Simon the Pharisee, and the unnamed woman. The host is a Pharisee who may not completely be opposed to Jesus, at least not to start with. Pharisees have several different positions. One part of it could be seen as extreme, hardline right-wingers, but several, like Simon, ride the fence, may have been prepared to give Jesus a fair hearing. He's heard the rumors that maybe Jesus is a prophet, and so he calls Jesus teacher. This calls to mind of two other Pharisees who were devoted to Jesus. One snuck in at night. His name is Nicodemus. And Jesus told him the prophetic words and the most powerful words of John 3:16 to 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. People struggle with trying to figure out how to be saved when it's right there in front of them. And it's incredible to think, is it really that simple? Yes, it is. Believers of Jesus Christ who repent of their sins are forgiven. The other one was Joseph of Arimathea, who followed Jesus and who gave his tomb for Jesus to be buried in. Simon may have heard rumors that maybe Jesus was a prophet, and so he calls, as I said, Jesus teacher. He thinks he's got Jesus at a disadvantage because Jesus has not seemed to realize what sort of woman this is, who is wetting Jesus' feet with her tears and drying his feet with her hair. But he's doubly proved wrong, since Jesus knows what she has been and what she is now, a forgiven sinner. And Jesus knows what Simon is thinking. It would seem that the woman is an uninvited guest. You see, when you threw a party like this, the doors would be open. And they would remain open, allowing beggars, extra friends, or simply curious passerby to wander in. And it looks like the woman intends to anoint Jesus with what contains in this alabaster jar. And we learn that this is her expression of grateful love because she has received God's abundant forgiveness. But when she finds herself before Jesus, she is totally overcome, and his feet are wet with her tears before she can get the ointment jar open. Then, trying to make things better, she makes them far worse. As far as the onlookers are concerned, she lets down her hair, something no self-respecting woman would do in public, and she wipes Jesus' feet, kissing them all the while, and finally doing what she came for, anointing Jesus. This gospel reading shows what happens when God's love touches a human situation. And we see that throughout Luke's gospel, how social convention is thrown out the window, forgiveness and love set new standards and raise new expectations of hope. Human beings appear to be seen not as society has labeled them, but as God sees them. Many Jews had rejected Jesus' message, but now many non-Jews, or better said, Gentiles, were accepting it and becoming followers of Jesus, delighted, as this woman was, that their sins were forgiven by God's generous love, mercy, and grace. Taking a closer look at the details of this event at Simon's house, one of the things I just love is the way in which Jesus turns the tables on Simon. on this Pharisee. Simon is the one who's guilty of poor hospitality, almost as much of a social blunder as this woman letting down her hair. Pharisee has never come to terms with the depths of his own heart, and so he doesn't even appreciate God's generous love when Jesus himself sits at his table. True faith is what happens when someone looks at Jesus and discovers God's forgiveness, and the sign of that proof of that faith is love. This woman, who very well may have been a prostitute, probably learned that Jesus was eating at this Pharisee's house. And so she went there. As I said before, such a meal, it was not a private affair. People could come in, sit around the edges. They could watch what went on, listen to the conversation, and learn from it. And so this woman could have gotten in with her reputation probably preceding her, and she would not necessarily be so welcome amongst this company of people. And so she stayed to the back. It probably took a great deal of courage for this woman to walk in there in the first place. And she brought with her an alabaster jar of perfume. Now, alabaster jars were carved, expensive, and beautiful. And they were made from a translucent, compact gypsum, carved with a long neck that actually had to be broken off so the contents could be poured out. This was an expensive perfume. And so this jar of perfume would have been valued very highly as a treasure by this woman. And then she knelt behind Jesus at his feet, weeping. And you're probably trying to figure out, how could that be? Remember, they were reclining at the table, so the head was at the table and your legs would be behind you. And that's how she was able to do this. There was no contortioning involved at all. And her tears fell on his feet. And as I said, she wiped the tears with her hair. But then she kept kissing Jesus' feet and putting perfume on them. Because these people, as I said, were reclining, the woman had easy access to Jesus' feet without even approaching the table. She understood that Jesus was very, very special. And perhaps as a sinner, she had come to Jesus with a great deal of sorrow due to her sin. Now, I've come to the conclusion that there could be a few things going on here. It could be that her sins were behind her. Even though she had lived a sinful life, she had found God's forgiveness. Or perhaps she had followed John the Baptist and had repented of her sins. And then she may have been in the crowds that had been following Jesus and had come to believe in him. Or she may have come to Jesus grateful for being forgiven, and so offering him the gift of her valuable perfume. Despite this woman's reputation, she came forward publicly to Jesus and kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. And usually this perfume was used to anoint a person's head. But she didn't want to get any closer to the table. To wash Jesus' feet was a sign of deep humility. It was the job of a slave. Think forward, if you will, to Maundy Thursday in the upper room when Jesus went to wash the apostles' feet and Peter said, no, you're not going to wash my feet. I should be washing yours. And Jesus said, Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Simon the Pharisee looked over from his meal and saw what was going on. He saw this woman with a notorious reputation in his house, near his table, weeping and pouring perfume on the feet of his guest. He thought that any self-respecting rabbi would have realized this woman's sinful nature and retreated at being touched by her, since to be touched by a sinner would make you unclean. This Pharisee decided that if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this was and would have told her to get away. Simon judged her as a sinner. He shoved her aside, so to speak. So no wonder Jesus' compassion and forgiveness gave a breath of fresh air to people such as this woman. Jesus cared when nobody else bothered. Jesus spoke to this Pharisee, answering all of the things that his judgmental man was thinking. And Jesus said, two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had any money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which one of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. But then Jesus hit Simon right where he lives, right between the eyes, saying, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You didn't give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. When people came into a house, they were to be treated as special honored guests, with their feet being washed. That was a tradition. And being greeted with a kiss on both cheeks and anointing that person with oil on their head. Those were the expected manners from the host of the evening. And they didn't happen. So Jesus called him on. Did Simon maybe feel that he was too good to treat Jesus as an equal? Simon may have thought that he had correct religious beliefs and he followed all the rituals to a T. But he displayed an unloving, selfish, and uncaring spirit that night. He was one of those who had rejected God's purposes on him. While on the other hand, the sinful woman lavished tears, expensive ointment, and kisses on Jesus' feet. Now Jesus provides the haymaker to Simon. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. I can't help but think of the Pharisee who stood in the synagogue and watched the taxpayer. The taxpayer was repenting and humbly asking God's forgiveness, while the Pharisee said, thank you, God, that I am not like this taxpayer. This woman's act of humility and love shows that she had been forgiven. Jesus didn't overlook her sins. He did, in fact, know that this woman was a sinner, and he knew that her sins were many. But the fact that her many sins were forgiven caused her to express much love for Jesus. It needs to be noted that this woman's love was not the cause of her forgiveness, for no one can earn forgiveness. Her faith in Jesus, despite her many sins, saved her. By contrast, self-righteous people like Simon feel that they have no sin that needs to be forgiven. Therefore, they also have little love to show for anything. The Apostle Paul says it so well in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, but it is a gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. Simon saw the sin, but Jesus saw the sinner. Simon saw the offenses, but Jesus saw the need. Simon saw the depth of her depravity. Jesus saw the magnitude of her love. Let's face it, the truth is all people are sinners. We're all sinners. The fact that fact alone should keep anyone from feeling superior or self-righteous. God loves people who are loved beyond measure. And that should keep anyone from feeling worthless or hopeless. You know, time after time, I can tell you of people who have visited my office in the 11 years that I've been a priest. And many times I hear people say that they don't think very much of themselves. And their self-image is really, really lacking. And I pray with them and I anoint them. And one of the things I pray for is that the next time that they would look in a mirror, that they would see themselves through God's eyes. That God cherishes them and loves them, just as He loves each one of us. He loves beyond measure. Those who were sitting at the table that night began to say amongst themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus' words of forgiveness to that woman sparked conversations between the Pharisees. And they believed that only God could forgive sins. So they wondered why this man, Jesus, was saying that the woman's sins were forgiven. They completely missed the fact that Jesus himself was God, and therefore does have the authority to forgive sins. Jesus simply looked at the woman and said, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Think for a moment. This is not unlike the time that Jesus told the woman, "Go and sin no more," when people were about to stone her. When people put their trust in Jesus Christ, He changes their lives, gives them freedom from sin, and allows them to go in peace, true peace, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. It's a reason why we pray that at the end of the service, before the dismissal, to go in peace, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And like so many that Jesus had healed, this woman had a new life and a new reason for living. Isn't that something that each one of us has experienced? God's forgiveness and a feeling that we are new people. The Apostle Paul put it today. Didn't he say that I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me? The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what the cross is all about. It's no wonder that this woman wept with joy and love, and indeed went in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.